Well, good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this program, welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And yes, it takes a heck of a long time for this off season to trudge along. And it's been taking a long time for Jeff to get back on the airwaves. I understand. I apologize because I know it's been kind of few and far between here in recent, the last couple of months since the season ended. My objective is obviously to get more programming out there, but right now I'm in the middle of quite a bit of stuff. As you know, I've been working on launching the YouTube or getting that ready to prepare for launch. As we grow the channel onto YouTube, that's really the next phase of this program. And I hope you all will jump aboard and make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. It is the same exact wording, phrasing, whatever that is on your podcast. It's Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff, W/GEOFF. You can find it on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe because we will be launching here shortly. It's actually these last 7 or 8 episodes have been uploading onto that channel. So you're able to find them on there as well. And the like I said, the next step is to be able to start recording these podcasts live on YouTube. And then you all as audience members be able to just jump on, join in as the broadcast is going on and ask any questions, comment on the material, all that kind of good stuff that we can engage with each other. And that's really the next level of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. So like I said, I'll remind you one more time, make sure you go to the YouTube channel and subscribe so that you're ready to ride along with us as we make that transition. This is episode number 199. We are one away from the magic 200 number, which, you know, if everything falls in line, I want to have that 200 episode with special guests as well as launching the and having it go live on YouTube, which is why another reason why I've been kind of, you know, prolonging some of the, the broadcasts have been a little bit few and far between here recently. Of course, it's the off season as well, so things are going to slow down a bit. But really, I'm trying to line up to launch the YouTube channel on the 200th episode. So if it doesn't happen, so be it. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world. But it'd be cool to have the first YouTube live podcast to be broadcasted on episode number 200. And since we're right there, I'm kind of trying to work that into the make it happen. So we'll see. We'll see if it works or not. Anyway, since we've last spoke, I did have Matt on and we talked a little bit. That's the last podcast, 198. So since we last been on the air, the Eagles, in fact, I think it was only like a day or two later. So I'm really late on this news, but I'm sure you're all aware that the Eagles traded Haason Reddick. If not, that is the breaking news from just about over a week ago. And I definitely wanted to give my thoughts. I've been wanting to get on quickly after that and give my thoughts, but you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I have just not talk about one subject with the Eagles. And so, you know, letting a few more days go by, a few other things happened and we'll talk about as well. But definitely going to give my thoughts on the Haason Reddick trade, what I feel about it. And talk about a couple other things that have gone on Eagles related. So where do we begin? All right. Well, we'll begin at the Haason Reddick trade. So here's my biggest question. Well, let's talk about the actual trade details. All right. So the Eagles traded Haason Reddick to the New York Jets for a conditional third round pick in 2020 6. So not this year, not even next year, 2 years from now, in 2026, that's when the Eagles will have a third round pick of the Jets, which could potentially be a second round pick of the Jets if Hassan Reddick does both of these two things. Plays in 67% of the defensive plays for the Jets next season. And on top of that, gets 10 or more sacks. If both of those conditions are met next year, then that third round pick in 2026 becomes a second round pick for the Eagles. So that apparently is all the how he was able to get in trading Hassan Reddick, because he's been, the rumors have been, they've been shopping him for a while around the league. Now you got to eliminate quite a few teams, right, that probably had an interest in Reddick that the Eagles are just not going to trade to. Obviously, anyone in the division, the Eagles are not going to trade Reddick to the Cowboys, who apparently had interest. But I mean, I'm sure that was shut down really quick. You know, Washington or the Giants. So you can eliminate those three. And then you could probably try to eliminate at least the NFC teams. And that's what the Eagles did. So they, you know, they're going to ship them off to the AFC. You know, for Reddick personally, it's not going that far because it's right there in, you know, New Jersey / New York. So now here's my thoughts on the trade. My initial reaction was, especially what they got for him, don't like it. Don't like the move. And that's what my initial reaction was. Didn't like it. I didn't think they were going to trade Reddick, honestly. This surprised me because the Eagles have the money to pay him right now. He's under contract with the Eagles and they have cap space. So they're not, you know, stressed under the cap right now. They can easily afford his salary. Now, they would probably have to give him a little bit of a raise. They don't have to because, again, he's under contract. But just to make him kind of happy, they could have bumped his, you know, I think he was making $16 or $17 million this year. You know, gave him a $20 million a year or something like that, $21 million. How he could easily done that under the cap this year just to kind of make him happy and let him play out this last year of the contract. That's what I thought the Eagles were going to do, because to me, that's the smart thing to do. That's what I would have done. He is their best defensive player. He is their easily their best pass rusher, most consistent. And those guys you'd keep, you know. So was not happy about the trade initially. And now we're sitting over a week later, and I am still not happy about the trade. I don't like this trade. It's one of the few that Howie messed up, in my opinion. Now we won't know for sure if this was a huge screw up until 2026. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? I mean, let me just say, well, I guess ultimately we wouldn't be able to can't really gauge it until then officially. But if Reddick goes out next year and gets 10 and, you know, 10 and let's say he gets 12 sacks and, you know, let's say, let's even say that he hits both of the qualifiers, right? He plays in 70% of the plays and gets 12 sacks. Let's just say, well, that then would mean that the Eagles get a second round pick 2 years from now. So here's where the problem comes in for me, all right? And I know we, you know, talked about this with Matt on the last episode. The Eagles, are you in it to win it or are you not? That would be my question for Howie. Are you in it to win it next year or are you not? Because this type of trade tells me as a fan that they're not all in it to win it. Because you don't make this trade if you are, in my opinion. You just don't. Now, of course, I know they picked up Huff, but you could add Huff on one side, Reddick charger from the other side. It's not like the Eagles have a ton of depth on the D end. You got Brandon Graham is on the last, you know, lifeline of his career. He's a part-time player now. You have Nolan Smith, who hasn't proven that he can play in the league yet. But, I mean, is he ready to go? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. So he's a huge question mark. So now, without Reddick in the picture, you have Josh Sweat, who I like, and you guys know I like Sweat, but he definitely faded at the end of last year. For what reason, don't know. The whole defense ended up stinking the whole second half of the season, so could be related to that, no question. But overall, I like Sweat. I like that they, you know, kept him, even though he took a pay cut. Nolan Smith, like I said, huge question mark. You can't rely on him right now. He's got to take a major step now without Reddick being here. And then you got Huff that you're bringing over to the Jets, which I like the move. He's been a very highly productive player in 50% of the playing time for the Jets. Now he's going to be a full-time starter here. So what does that mean? Does that mean he goes from 10 sacks to 20 sacks? Because he's playing, he's on the field most of the time? Or let's say, that might be a little unrealistic. Let's say, does he go from 10 sacks to 18 sacks, 17 sacks? Does that happen with Huff? Or as a full-time player coming over to a new defense, does he go from 10 sacks down to 5 sacks? And is like a just a kind of like a mediocre pass rusher? We don't know. We don't know an answer to that. So that's another question mark, not as big as Nolan Smith, certainly, because Huff has proven that he's been able to get to the quarterback in the NFL. Smith has yet to do that. Sweat, we know, can do that. Brandon Graham, like I said, he's a part-time player now. He's going to be just a third down guy. So you take out Reddick and you have a huge gap now at the defensive end that you didn't have before at the pass rush position. And again, I ask the question, are you in it to win it this year, Eagles? Because we talked about the fact that the Eagles' window for really to optimize their opportunity is the next couple years, this year, next year. Because you got to pay the piper at wide receiver. And Devontae Smith's contract comes up at the end of the season. Howie and him are probably talking right now, quite honestly. It wouldn't surprise me. He's been getting contracts done. He locked up Landon Dickerson. He just locked up Mailata. That's the other breaking news I want to talk about. We'll get to him in a minute. So he's signing some young guys. Reed Blankenship, he signed for a year. You know, so Howie is heavily involved right now in retaining his own, except for Reddick, apparently. You know, not apparently, that he's gone. So, well, when you look at wide receiver, Devontae Smith, you got to pay him. He's going to be $20 million plus. And more than likely, they're not going to have two $20-plus million wide receivers, which means A.J. Brown is going to be here for just another couple of years. That's it. Unless he decides to stay here and take a pay cut. I doubt it, but that my point is the Eagles are a win now team, or they should be. So why would a win now team trade their best pass rusher? That's the biggest problem I have with this trade. I think it's a mistake by Howie, especially since he's not even able to help the team in this win now window of this year and next year. That pick doesn't come to realization until 2026. I got a problem with that. It doesn't help us this year. It doesn't even help us next year. And who knows how much it'll help us in 2026. If Reddick, you know, has an injury next year and misses a few games, well, he's not going to play probably in 67% of the snaps. And he may not get 10 sacks or either one of them if he doesn't hit. That's a third round pick. He's got to do both. So got to do both in order for it to be a second round pick in 2026. So I don't like this trade. I really wish that Howie would come to the podium and talk about it, because I want to understand his justification for this move. Because to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense and I don't like it. And I gave it a whole week to marinate, to wrestle with it in my brain, to see if I'll change my thoughts, my initial reaction, which I told you about. And it has not changed. I don't think this is a smart move by the Eagles. And one of the few mistakes, I think, that Howie has made, because he doesn't make many, honestly, he, you know, in terms of trading. And certainly recent years, he's been very, very good. This one is a little bit mind-boggling to me. So outside of that, we talked about Mailata signed as well. So, you know, they locked him up for 4 years. He was a guy who deserves all the credit in the world for coming over, never playing football ever in his life. A seventh round reach of a draft pick. Credit to, you know, the Eagles for finding this guy who was playing rugby football. And, you know, they were able to mold this guy and turn him into one of the best tackles in the league. He's paid. He's going to be paid as much now. You know, and Eagles have, I think, three of the top six or seven offensive linemen in the league are filled of Eagles. You know, with Lane Johnson's contract, Landon Dickinson's contract, and now Mailata's. So the Eagles pour quite a bit of money into the offensive line. And they certainly have done it again, and it's a recipe for success. You can't argue with doing that. I don't mind Eagles, you know, paying a substantial amount of money on the offensive line. It is super important in order to execute your offense. You need to have, you know, give the quarterback time, and this is why there's going to be so much pressure on Hurts next year and Sirianni. The onus and the targets are going to be on both of those guys as to how this offense performs next year. All right. And I suppose Kellen Moore too. You know, I mean, he's going to obviously have a little bit of a, you know, a lot of eyes on him as well. So Mailata is signed, he's locked up. And Reed Blankenship also signed a one-year extension. So the Eagles gave him a little bump in increase in pay and locked him in for another extra year. So, you know, I like Reed. Has he demonstrated that he could be a full-time career starter here at safety? No, I need to see more. I think the Eagles do, which is why they didn't give him more than 1 year. But I think he's an adequate safety. I think he's pretty good. You know, maybe he's a little better than average right now. You know, but I like the fact he's got good ball hawking skills. He always seems to be, you know, if there's a ball thrown his way, he does catch it, and you know he does pick it off. I like his aggressiveness as a tackler. Coverage wise, he's not all that great. He's definitely weak there, and sometimes he'll miss a tackle. You know, he's not a great tackler, but I like his physical play. So overall, like I said, he's got some positives, got some, you know, some negatives in there too. So he's got like a mixed review from me at this point in his career. But I definitely, I like the fact that they did sign him. It's not like I wanted him out of here. I like Reed as a person, as a player overall. And I think he's got some room for growth. You know, he's not the fastest, you know, safety in the league, but I think he does enough good things to justify the Eagles keeping him around. So happy for that. Early report, by the way, that I saw that Sidney Brown is ahead of schedule on his ACL knee, which is good news. Now we'll see how he's looking when camp opens. But he, you know, according to some quotes I'm hearing, he's like expecting to be ready to go at the start of the season. Now I can't see that happening with ACL. I know, you know, with each passing year, the technology and the surgeries and all that are, you know, get better. But the only one that I ever saw, you know, be, you know, essentially 100% coming back from an ACL early was Adrian Peterson. And that guy is an Adonis in terms of, you know, the shape that he kept himself in and all that. So we'll see about Sidney Brown, but it's encouraging at least that he hasn't had any setbacks, and we'll see. I still don't expect it to be ready, you know, start of next season, but you know, we'll see. You know, encouraging signs coming out of the Sidney Brown camp. And I love that guy. I definitely want to see more of him and yeah, this coming season. The other thing is Avante Maddox, a guy that the Eagles released before the start of free agency. Apparently, he probably talked to some other teams, didn't really get an offer that blew him away. And the Eagles, I'm sure, kept in touch with him. That's what we kind of heard anyway when they released him, that they would keep in touch. They did, and the Eagles have signed him back for another year. And we'll see how, obviously, it's good to have him in the mix. Never been a problem with ability with Avante Maddox. It's availability has been the only issue with Maddox when he's played and when he's been on the field. He's been good. We all know that. But it's, the problem is when he's just not been on the field that much. So, but I think it's smart to bring him back. So that's good. wish him a healthy season. You know, the guy just needs to stay on the damn field. The other thing I just wanted to kind of mention, because I thought it was kind of cool. Well, a couple things. Those of you in the Northeast that listen to this podcast, and what I mean by Northeast is really anywhere from New Jersey upwards of Maine, Southern Maine, perhaps. But certainly if you're in the Connecticut area like myself, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, and obviously New Jersey, we had a little shakeup during the middle part of this week. And when by that, I mean earthquake. And I'm sure the people out in the West Coast or anywhere else in the, around the world that have real serious earthquakes will probably laugh this one off. Like, yeah, you really call that an earthquake? It was a 4.8 on the Richter scale. They still call it a Richter scale. I don't really hear that word much anymore. But I do know that they always give the number. But it's 4.8 magnitude earthquake right in the New Jersey area. I'm in Connecticut, and I happened to be sitting at my desk that morning, which was, this is the part when I said it was cool, because I would never want to say earthquakes are cool. They're always very scary, and obviously could be extremely traumatic and you know, have ungodly type damage. Obviously, a 4.8 is not going to do something like that. But for me, somebody who's lived in Connecticut his whole life, we don't get earthquakes here. You know, and we've had little small, tiny ones, even less than 4.8s over my entire life. And I'm now, you know, I just turned 50 last year. So I've been around for a little bit. I mean, there's been times when I was like, I feel the earth move or, you know, feel a little shake. But, you know, it was like maybe a diesel truck a couple streets over or something, you're going to, you know, that you'd hear in the background. I'm like, oh, okay, it's just like a big truck you're going by or whatever. That might shake your house or whatever. So I have never been able to say officially that I've ever felt an earthquake in my entire life until this week. I was sitting at my desk, and right at 10:24 in the morning, I think it was Wednesday morning, right? Was it Wednesday, I believe? I definitely felt this weird movement and was a little bit, you know, shaken. For about maybe 3 seconds, 3 to 4 seconds, maybe. And you felt the house even kind of make like a little bit of a noise. Not that I saw the house shaking or anything. I mean, it must have been, because I certainly was just sitting at my desk and things at the desk was kind of moving, shaking a little bit. But I, when it happened, I said to myself, that was an earthquake. And I kind of knew it because I've never felt anything like that before. And it lasted, like I said, very quickly, only 3 to 4 seconds. But I was like, that was an earthquake. We just had an earthquake, you know, I'm thinking to myself. And so I went online just to kind of like see if it was just me. You know, I went on my Facebook page and kind of looked to see if anybody had anything in there. And this was like immediately after, within a minute, I was kind of looking on Facebook and just seeing if anyone, you know, posted there was anything. Nothing. I didn't see anything. And that was, again, it was right afterwards. So I didn't really give much time. So then I decided to go on Google and just Google earthquake Connecticut. And I didn't see anything, you know, on Google. So, but then a couple of little things as I scrolled down were popping up on Twitter, or what do they call it, X now. And those were like popping. So there was like 3 or 4, including like Megyn Kelly. For those of you who may, you know, her, the news correspondent. She's got her own show and has been on the news and stuff like that. She and there's like a few other reports of people that were, and Megyn Kelly said, we just have an earthquake. I remember that was her post. And there was a few others that kind of had the same thing. And they were all like 30 seconds old when I was looking about a minute into it. So there was some other people at that time through the Twitter and X, because I'm not on Twitter and I'm not on X. I don't even have a page. So I'm never on those. But if you Google, sometimes it'll show their X comment or whatever. And I saw a few of those. So then I knew. Then I'm like, okay, it wasn't just me. Not that I mean, I knew it was something, but I just wanted the confirmation that I wasn't the only one that felt that. And so I got that immediate. And then I went on my Facebook page and I posted that we just had an earthquake in Connecticut. And then it was probably about 5 to 10 minutes after that it started hitting the national, you know, local news stations and stuff like that. And then other posts on Facebook, social media, and everything they were all saying. And then it was maybe 15 minutes later where it said, yeah, it was center in New Jersey, 4.8 earthquake that happened right at 10:24. And I was like, yep, okay. Because that's the first thing I did when I felt the movement. And as I looked at the my clock, and because I wanted to see exactly what time it was in case, you know, it was an earthquake, I would know exactly when it happened and be able to confirm the exact time and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was kind of cool, you know. And like I said, if you're out there in California or some other parts of the world that have real serious earthquakes, Japan, you know, some of these other places you always hear about that have really significant earthquakes in the sevens and the eights, and even the sixes, the high sixes, I know could do significant damage. I'm sure you're just like 4.8. My God, we have those every few weeks, you know, they're probably no big deal. But you know, if somebody from Connecticut's never had or experienced the earth shaking underneath them, it was quite an experience, to say the least. And I can only imagine what one twice the magnitude would do or feel like. And I really don't want to know what that feels like, quite honestly. But anyway, and obviously those in the Philadelphia area, because it happened in New Jersey, felt it as well. So. You know, so the Philadelphia area all the way up through, like I said, parts of Maine felt it, upstate New York felt it, because my dad lives up there. He said that he felt it, and all through Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Jersey, New York, you know, so pretty, pretty big shake, you know, for us here in the Northeast, part of the U.S. All right. And lastly, and leastly, as we, going to keep this under a half hour here, is, WrestleMania was in Philadelphia this weekend. And I was thinking, you know, leading up to this weekend, that I would not be shocked if Kelsey would be at some point in the ring. I just had a feeling with it being in Philly, you know, or Eagles in general, but Kelsey was the one that came to mind. I just felt that he'd be the guy that would, you know, I didn't know he'd be involved in a match that he would go that extreme. I just thought he'd go out there and, you know, pump up the crowd or something, or just make an appearance. He definitely did more than that. So him and Lane Johnson, if those of you didn't see it or hear about it, one of the matches on Saturday at WrestleMania, because now it's a 2-day event. When I was growing up watching WrestleMania, and I don't watch wrestling that much anymore. I haven't watched wrestling in probably 10, 15 years. I used to watch it all the time growing up in the 80s, you know, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior and Tony Atlas and all those guys. I mean, I watched wrestling as a kid growing up all the time, and all the first, like, probably 10 to 15 WrestleManias, we used to pay-per-view and watch them all. But then I haven't really watched it since Stone Cold's been gone. I really haven't watched much wrestling at all since those years. So now it's a 2-day event, WrestleMania. It used to be just 1 day. And so our beloved Eagles, Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, both were masked at one time during a match. They came out of the crowd during the match and just got involved and helped the one of the teams or tag teams, it was a tag team match, win the match. And it was Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson who later revealed themselves as they took the masks off in the ring. And then both kind of, you know, obviously exposed themselves to the audience that went nuts. And so our Eagles were part of WrestleMania being in Philadelphia at the Link this weekend. So I don't know what happened today at all. Cause I really don't watch wrestling anymore. Maybe the might have been some other Eagle involvement, but I know just know that the first day, Kelce and Lane Johnson both not only made an appearance, but were actually involved in a match, which was kind of cool. All right. So as I depart here, we'll see what happens in episode 200. Again, my goal in an ideal situation, if it works out, is to launch the first live episode at episode 200. We may or may not do that. Either way, episode 200, the next episode, will be a ceremonial episode as I hit 200 episodes with Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And I wanted to, as I'm going to do it, you know, when I do have that 200th episode, is thank you as the audience, because obviously I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have any listeners. And so you are, I'm celebrating you for this 200th episode, not me. This is about you, the audience, and you who have been involved, and now you have a chance to really be involved. That's the whole point of getting on YouTube live so that when you're listening to the program live, you're able to engage with me and we can talk back and forth. I can answer any questions you have live. I can respond to any comments you have, all those kind of fun things. So it's just taking this show to the next level. And like I said before, I'm not coming off of any of the podcast platforms that you currently listen to me on. So those are not going away. It's just that when we launch this live on YouTube, that we should be able to have everything at once, you know, and that's exciting for me, and hopefully it's exciting for you. So that is the next level of Philadelphia Eagles talk with Jeff, and I can't wait to get that started. All right, with that said, thank you, as always, for listening to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Episode 199 is now in the books. Episode 200 should be firing off on YouTube Live. So, make sure you subscribe, because you'll be notified when I go live, and then you can jump on and join the program. Hopefully that's the next episode. If not, it's going to be a celebration anyway. And it might be a few episodes a little bit later before we actually get that YouTube launch. But like I said, my goal is to hopefully get that on 200. So line it all up with a nice, with a bang and a bow and all that kind of fun stuff. Anyway, thanks again for listening. We'll talk again next time. Till then, fly Eagles fly. We'll catch you later. Take care.